Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
This is the Final Word World Cup Daily, Day 6.2, Part 2 of the doubleheader. It was Sri Lanka versus Pakistan in Hyderabad. I didn't do the other bit I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to do it again. This is the Final Word World Cup Daily, Day 6.2, Sri Lanka versus Pakistan in Hyderabad. Jeff Lemon and Bharat Sundaresan with you for Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. The first thing we have to do, Bharat, is summarise today's game in the space of 30 seconds.
Kusal Pereira gets out very early, but Pathamna Nasunka and Kusal Mandi start putting on a partnership. Kusal Mendes, second time running, bats like a dream, makes a big 100, has contributions from Sadira Samarawickrama, who also goes on to make a 100, but Sri Lanka make a hash of it in the end. Lose 5 for 61, only get to 344. Pakistan lose a wicket early. They also lose Babar Azam, but then Abdullah Shafiq and Mohammad Rizwan get together and put on a match-winning partnership. But Shafiq gets out after getting to 100. Rizwan limps his way to 100, but keeps hitting the ball out of the ground. And Pakistan coast home in the end for the highest run chase in the history of the World Cup.
Pretty good. It's pretty good. There was a lot in there, and there was a lot in the game today. And I'm sure that all the reporting will be about the run chase, which was extraordinary in its own way. Because there's that slight feeling of, Richie Beno said, don't use the word tragedy, but there's a slight poignancy when somebody performs incredibly well and then, because of what happens in the second half of the game, it's forgotten, which means that I think we should take a moment to look at the two individual innings when Sri Lanka batted up first. We saw Kusal Mendes going absolutely hog wild the other day when they were chasing 428 and there was nothing to lose and he was cleaning up sixes over the leg side repeatedly. This was a different kind of innings. It was not much slower, but it was a little bit different in how measured and controlled it was. It wasn't just, oh, well, there's no point. I might as well try to smash everything. He was picking his moments, picking his battles, but the shots out of the middle of the bat were as clean as they were the other night, and goes on to 100, which he didn't make the other night against South Africa.
Yeah, that was a big difference. Well, he's 28 now, and we've all seen Kusal Mendes and what he can do. What, way back in 2016 when he made that 100 against Australia, he was touted to be the next big thing of Sri Lankan batting, but he's just not lived up to that reputation, has he? I mean, he produces these innings across formats when you're like, finally he's cracked it. Oh, finally he's cracked it. But hopefully, look, there are some batters especially who take a while to mature, and let's hope that he's reached that level, because the level at which he's batting is right up there with the best. It's difficult to put him in the same bracket as a Babar Azam or a Virat Kohli just because he's not been consistent enough. You go rewind back to 2016, you thought he'll be up there. But he's getting there. But you're right. I mean, the way he manipulates the field is a mix of many Sri Lankan batters. He's technically correct, yes. And I'm sure we'll talk about the slightly more technically sound batter who also got 100 a little while later. But but just his ability to manipulate the field, use the pace of the bowlers. We saw him against the big, tall South African fast bowlers, keep kind of just closing himself up and hitting over the onside. He did that as well today, but Shaheen Afridi had an off day. Whenever he went wide, he has the hands to just find the gap through the offside. He's just a sensational batter, and he seems to have found that extra gear which allows him to score at strike rates, not just over 100, but over 150 at times. And a special innings, unfortunate that it had to end on the losing side.
I just had a little flashback to 2003 Tendulkar early on when Shaheen Afridi bowls the short ball and he slashes the uppercut for six. So early in the innings, off the premier Pakistani quick, the short ball, the quick one steaming in, and it flew away for six. And he got lucky as well. He got dropped a couple of times. There was a caught and bowled chance that was difficult, driven back when he was on eight, and then Imam Ul Haq put down a regulation catch at backward point when Kusal Mendes was on 18. But I mean, from that point, he just goes on and looks imperious. It's mostly as a leg side onslaught up until he's well past 50, and then he gets those three boundaries in a row from Shaheen Shah Afridi, who, like you said, was couldn't get his length right. He kept bowling short and wide outside the off stump, and so three in a row go for four, and then he just goes after Hassan Ali, six over mid wicket, six over cover, brings up the 100, and then tries to go three in a row, and eventually holes out on the mid wicket boundary. So 119 from 77 balls. The 100 came up in 65. That's the fastest in World Cups for Sri Lanka. Beats Sangakkara's record. There have only been, so Jayasurya had three fast 100s that weren't in World Cups, and I reckon Thisara Pereira has one, and that's it. So he's fifth quickest all time. And then it's, so, you know, Nisanka was there to make 51. Yeah. He got out, and then Summer of Vikrama was on 36 or so when Kusal Mendes gets out, and then it's time for Summer of Vikrama to take over.
We were first exposed to Summer of Vikrama in 2017 when he came here as a test opener with the great reputation of being someone who can take down attacks, who would play really aggressively. It just didn't come off. I remember his first ever innings on Indian soil, he kicked off a storm in terms of the shots he played. Again, another short-statured batter, but very classy, right? I heard a lot of commentators compare him with Mahela Jayawardhane, especially the way he goes inside out. Very different to Kusal Mendes. With Kusal Mendes, everything's there, or a lot of his shots are through the onside, unless it's really full and or if it's really short and wide. But with Summer Vikrama, he's just a class act when he gets going. And he seems to have created this niche in the middle order. I think his white ball game has really flourished in the last couple of years. And it's coming together. But unfortunately, while he was playing a masterful innings at the other end, the middle order just didn't fire, did they? Asalanka, my favorite, didn't do much. I mean, he struggled. And I thought Pakistan pulled them back really well without really producing a good bowling performance. Yeah. But they did enough.
I think it was Hassan Ali was significant because he gets the century makers out. He gets Asalanka caught behind as well. He ends up with 4 for 71, which is a little bruising, but still, when they've made nearly 350, yeah, that's decent going in terms of economy rate. But he got those wickets that meant that the score was big, but it wasn't absolutely massive. And so those, there's that wicket, there's Dhananjaya De Silva, and there's Dustin Shanaka, and they all, the latter two hole out while Summer of Vikrama is moving his way to his 100. The way it was his play against spin for me, I mean, that's why it worked so well in that middle order, because he was facing Pakistan's spinners. They had Mohammad Nawaz in there, they had Iftikhar in there as well as Shadab Khan, and he used his feet really well. He started off with the late cuts and the dabs, he played the sweep really well, he had that little sort of pickup shot over the leg side, and then the shot that he played against Mohammad Nawaz, the charge inside out, extra cover, lofted drive for six. I don't want to get hyperbolic, but that might be top 10 shots I've ever seen. Like, that was extraordinary. The timing and the contact after coming a good crossover step, you know, three paces down, full gallop, and then to be able to hit it that cleanly. I don't know if I've seen anything like it that was better anyway.
It is all feet to start with, and he uses his feet so well. He's always jumping at the spinner. But you're right. I mean, for a left-arm spinner to come from around the wicket with that angle, so not only does he have to jump out of his crease, he has to kind of jump out of his crease and end up slot slightly outside leg stump so that he can open himself up and free himself up to hit inside out. But then the hands come through. It's the feet first and then the hands. Mm-hmm. And at that point, if you're just frozen it, and I'm sure if you can find a freeze frame of Mahela Jayawardena playing that particular shot, it would have looked the same. I don't think Mahela played it millions of times, but I don't think he ever played it better than what Samara Vikrama did of that Nawaz delivery. But yeah, I mean, but it was frustrating. And I was, watching Australia train while that game was going on. So I sat in front of a cop who was watching it on his phone. That's the beauty of India. Everybody's watching cricket on their phone. And we watched the last 8 overs together, me and this cop. And trust me, I think this cop wanted to punch Darshan Chanakka out. I mean, he's one of the loveliest men you'll meet. But he's become a bit of a Mike Bradley in this side, hasn't he? In the sense, he bats at a position where you want him to kind of come and get going. He does it once in a while. Yeah. But
made 68 the other night.
Yeah, he did. But like the innings just got... But the 68 came after a point like where... The
match was gone.
Match was gone. Like, but he doesn't do often enough. And Sri Lanka, okay, once the two centurions get out, it didn't look like they're going to get 400. But there was a point in, I think, around the 45th over, where even if they got 8 and over, they were going to get to 360. And that could well have been a winning score. But, you know, they just got stuck. And once Chanakka gets out, none of the lower order really came to the party. And that's why they ended up with a score well below par from where they were.
So they end up with 344 when it might have been 370 or so. One run and two wickets off the final over, only one boundary off the last two overs. And so, you know, they had Samara Vikrama not got out with two overs to go, he might have been able to crunch another 15 or so. But, you know, Pakistan should lose that game. They come out looking like they will lose it. Imam Ul Haq, hook shot, top edge, fine leg. We've seen him get out that way. We got out that way in the previous match. So he's out early. Babar Azam comes out, looks beautiful. First ball through wide, long on, all along the carpet, gorgeous. And then he gets a little glove down the leg side in the seventh over. And you think, well, okay, he's gone. The trump's gone. It'll be a matter of time from here. Madashankar was a real handful. He was that 10th over, I think it was. He got that leading edge that flew over cover from Rizwan, and then he absolutely badged Abdullah Shafiq so hard that it ricocheted to cover and was caught, and Sri Lanka sent it up for a review thinking that he'd top-edged it or gloved it, but he hadn't done so. He survived. There's the Abdullah Shafiq hook shot that sails down to fine leg, and the two boundary fielders converge and then stop and look at each other as it lands on the cushion. So they had their opportunities. And then, I don't know, it was just really smart from Rizwan and Abdullah Shafiq. They batted through about 20 overs where they didn't... They scored regularly. They ticked the board around, but they weren't doing anything crazy. And then from about the 29th over, they started ramping it up a bit. They started going after... They went after Patharana in one over. They went after Vallalaga in another over. And then Abdullah Shafiq reaches his century in the 32nd, I think it was. And that was the one that felt like a tipping point, right? Because that's when Madashankar, getting a bit frustrated that things aren't going his way, gets whacked for a couple of boundaries, no ball, it gets hit for six. The free hit, which goes for another couple, ends up going for 19 off the over. And even though Abdullah Shafiq is out a couple of overs later, caught it at backward point, he's got 100 on the board, Rizwan's up and running, and they've taken a huge chunk out of the chase.
And we're seeing this trend, aren't we, already? I mean, we expected Dew to play a role in this World Cup. And it's around this time of the year, October, November. I remember growing up watching all these games during... Like, I have these three things going in tandem in my head. Diwali, Dew, cricket, or in whatever order. Because all those games used to have bowlers struggling. I don't know, one, for some reason, Derek Crooks struggling with it in the late 90s whenever South Africa played India in a one-dayer in India. For some reason, springs to mind. And you saw it when Australia played against India in Chennai the other day. By the time you get into the 25th over onwards is when you really begin to struggle to grip the ball. Glenn Maxwell said, it's like you're clutching it with five fingers and hoping that you can land it at the other end. And the Sri Lankans struggled for sure. They were all over the shop. And Madashankar was so impressive with the new ball. He completely lost his radar. Patirana, who despite the Malinga action and despite his youth, he's so accurate most times, regardless of when he's bowling during an innings, he lost it completely. He was bowling wide outside leg stump, wide outside off stump, nearly landed a ball out off the pitch. I'm sure that played a role in it as well. But Mohammad Rizwan is, you know, people, all of us rave so much about about Babar Azam, that we often forget the fact that Mohammad Rizwan is a class batter, right? He's not your old, he's not Moin Khan, like, you know, a unique Pakistan wicketkeeper batter. He's not even Kamran Akmal, who was a much more technically sound batter. Mohammad Rizwan is nearly up there with Babar Azam, and we saw a lot of that last year in Pakistan during the Test series, during the One Day series, and he's got that brain, right? Like he's got that Salim Malik brain, just to make comparisons, in the middle order, how to masterfully take your team home in a run chase. And I think that's what we saw today. He knew exactly when to up the tempo, but also which bowlers to attack. And the part-time bowlers, don't forget, Sri Lanka had to fill that quota of that fifth bowler, were destroyed. And that's how you take care of a run chase this big. And even though Abdullah Shafiq got out when he did towards the end, great catch. Mohammad Rizwan, you always felt that till the time he was there, he had it in control.
You probably don't want to take after Kamran Akmal or Salim Malik in certain facets of their enthusiasm for the sports betting industry, but it was an innings that became sort of comical as it went on, because he'd worked so hard, it was so hot out there, he started cramping all over the place, he smacked that shot down the ground for six over long off and then collapsed immediately like someone had just knifed him in the hamstring. He was falling over as he was trying to get through for singles, hobbling, having breaks, getting attention. The umpires were saying, mate, you've got to go off if you're going to keep doing this, but they didn't actually make him do it, they were just sort of hovering around like it was for show. So when he was on around 80, all of this was going on, and he managed to sort of get things back together as he approached his 100, and ticks that off, a different style of 100, a slightly more kind of cavalier shot playing 100. I mean, Abdullah Shafiq was just textbook, you know, and we saw him, you and I were at the Test series a year ago in Pakistan watching him make his grand entrance and thinking that he was going to be an absolutely huge next big thing, and this doesn't suggest any lie to that. But yeah, look, Rizwan gets to his 100, and it's at a point where the game's probably gone, where there are three missed catches in three deliveries in and over from poor Mahesh Thikshana. The spinner, who was, you know, still bowling really well at that point, there was an actual drop. There was one that the fielder didn't quite get to at extra cover, and then there was another drop at long off. But I think at that point, like, they needed 37 to win off about 30 balls, and like maybe a wicket would have made a difference, but maybe it wouldn't have. Iftikhar Ahmed was there at the end doing the work with Rizwan, and they ran down the biggest ever World Cup chase. It's an astonishing effort. And it brings us to the final word, Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Hall of Fame, where we choose the most final word moment of the day. It's brought to you by Westfield London. It's very hot here, but in England, it's coming up to winter. And you can rediscover the magic of the festive season this year as you glide around Europe's tallest Christmas tree. I bet you didn't know that. At Westfield London, you can do that whether you're as comfortable on the ice as the West Coast Eagles circa 2005, or you've never strapped on a pair of skates before. It's a perfect festive day or night out. You can do evening ice skating. Just Google Westfield ice skating, you'll figure it out. Westfield London, more extra, less ordinary. Have you ever been out on the skates?
Not really. Roller skates was a thing I used to really enjoy back in the day, but no, this is something I want to do. I've never been in England during winter, but if I am, that's what I'm doing.
Hall of Fame. I've got Mohammad Rizwan just being so extra with all of it. He's like, oh, I'm in agony. Oh, I'm in, oh, my head. He got badged. He got a spinner that hit him in the grill. He fell over about seven different times, rolled around on the floor a lot. He really made the most of making sure that everybody knew that he was suffering out there for his team.
But that's Mohammad Rizwan, right? You see him keep. I've never seen a keeper in my lifetime covering and watching cricket who takes his glove off and starts wringing his hand, regardless of what format he's playing. Yes, I mean, all keepers take bad blows to the hand, but it feels like the ball always finds the edge of his finger or the webbing or something. And we saw that today as well. Like, and he was at one point, he felt like he was in a boxing ring with his thigh. He kept punching his thigh. And while that was going on, there was this bizarre rumble in the jungle going on in the commentary box as well, where poor Simon Dool is talking logic and talking about how, talking about the laws of the game. He said, you can't just carry on after point. You can't just hold the game up, especially when you're cramping. You just go off if you're in so much strife. But Matthew Hayden, former Pakistan batting coach, of course, who had that lovely video shot with him meeting the Pakistan players, keeps defending Rizwan. And obviously you have Waqar Yunus, multiple time coach of the Pakistan team, also in the commentary box. So at one point, Simon Dool would have just, and I remember Waqar Yunus saying, Simon, you've commentated on Mohammad Rizwan for so long. How can you not know this is just Mohammad Rizwan? And suddenly they started ganging up on poor Dooley.
There was a fair bit of good stuff on the commentary. One thing that wasn't, when Shaheen Shah Afridi swings the ball in late in the match, hits Velalage on the pad. It's pitched well outside leg stump. He goes up for the appeal, turned down. He goes to Babar Azam, come on. And Babar Azam just gave him the littlest head shake. No. So, and a smile. No way. Well outside leg stump. But yeah, on the comms, I liked that as soon as Mendes got to 100, they were pumping him up to beat Martin Guptill's record for the highest World Cup score, which was, what, 240-odd? A little bit premature, I thought. He was out 19 runs later, but, you know, you might as well have a shot, I suppose. Some of Matthew Hayden's work tonight. Quote, he can park my car in the garage anytime, Mohammad Rizwan, because that was like a glove. I don't know what that means, but that's apparently what came out. And this one from Ian Bishop, where he said, he was talking about the stadium. The lights are very modern. I would even say postmodern, which was very confusing for a minute. I was like, what does he mean? Like, these are lights that somehow decide that there is no objective version of reality and there is an infinite number of subjective versions, and that, like, what we've inherited from Enlightened period rationality should be cast out, or that are they lights that reference themselves within their own context as if knowing the limitations of their own structure? Like, what are we talking about here? And then later on realized that there was an explanation, not about postmodernism, but that the lights got split in half because they put these new lights up and then they built a roof over the stadium and then they realized that the roof blocked the lights. So they took half of the lights off and put them under the roof, which means they're just sitting in the crowd, blinding everybody on the field. And you've got half of the light above the roof and half of the light underneath it. So in a way, that is postmodern. They have been deconstructed. They're a deconstruction of the concept of a light that is not necessarily the thing that it represents. This is not a pipe. This is not a light. It was very very sharp from Bishop.
Oh, he is deep. You know, he observes everything, does Ian Bishop. And that's Indian architecture for you. So I do have another...
Make it work.
Make it work. You know, you've been here often enough and spent a lot of time with me. Had another nomination for Hall of Fame as well. This is towards the end of Sri Lanka's innings when Tikshana is facing Shaheen Afridi. And he cops one in the bum where he doesn't even play a shot. And the ball goes somewhere. And the camera... And these days there are so many cameras around the ground. The camera catches Matisha Patirana in the dressing room, who's about to walk out to bat after Tikshana, like making fun of Tikshana and going, what is he doing? And he's caught on camera and he's kind of a little sheepish. What happens 3 balls later? He's out in the middle looking even more foolish against Hasan Ali slow once. There's a lesson in it for you for number 11s. Don't make fun of your number 10s because you're walking out after them. The chances are you look worse than them.
So Pakistan, 2 from 2. They're looking good. Their next date is up against India, the big one. India play Afghanistan tomorrow, though, as well. That's the next one in the World Cup. Sri Lanka play Australia in their next engagement later in the week, which Bharat and I will be at in Lucknow, which is where we are now. That's it. That's been the Final Word Daily. It's brought to you by Westfield London. More extra, less ordinary. Thanks to them for backing the show. Thanks to you for watching it. If you want to be part of what we're doing, patreon.com/thefinalword. Otherwise, we'll see you on day 7. And I ain't George Benson. I ain't protected, brother. I ain't fenced. And if my future question my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about it.